Good morning, everyone. Lesson 9 from Path to Shiva. What is Saiva Siddhanta? Saiva Siddhanta is the name of our school of Hinduism. It is today the oldest, most vigorous, and widely practiced of the six forms of Saivism. It has many millions of devotees, tens of thousands of Aktis temples, and dozens of living monastic and ascetic traditions. Saiva Siddhanta once enjoyed a glorious presence throughout India. Today it is strongest within the Tamil traditions of South India, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, and elsewhere. In fact, it is sometimes referred to simply as Tamil Saivism. The term Saiva Siddhanta means the final or established conclusions of Saivism. Today, there are two primary schools of Saiva Siddhanta. One is the pluralistic school of Mekandar, which holds that God, soul, and world are eternally separate. The other is the monistic school of Tirumular, which stresses the ultimate oneness of man and God. We follow Tirumular's lineage, which is specifically called Shuddha Saiva Siddhanta. For both schools, Shiva is all, and his divine manifest energy, Shakti, is inseparable from him. In the temples, we often see Shiva and Shakti enshrined as two separate beings, a divine couple. But in truth, they are one. We worship Ganesha and Murugan as great lords who serve their creator, God Shiva. We chant the holy mantra, Namah Shivaya. We wear rudraksha beads and holy ash. We revere the many Saivite saints. We believe it is necessary to have a living guru. Cherish the holy Shivalinga. Keep company, Sangam, with other devout seekers, and revere the great many Shiva temples. These four, Guru, Lingam, Sangam, and Valipadu, worship, are the essence of Saiva Siddhanta as found in ancient Tamil and Sanskrit scriptures. And there's a nice quote around the photograph, the picture. The heart of Saiva Siddhanta is love. God Shiva's love for his creation and our love for him. Here the 16-year-old Markandeya is saved from death by clinging with all his might to Shiva, refusing to let go. One of the common questions from Hindus visiting the temple is, I get asked on a regular basis, and I'm sure those who host do too, where's the shrine for Shakti? The Shakti shrine is missing. And of course, I consider that a great opportunity for teaching. The fact that the Shakti shrine is missing creates a question, which then gives you a chance to answer it. And of course, the answer is, well, Shakti's there. Shakti has a shrine as Ardhanarishvara, Shiva and Shakti as a one being, right in the back right side of the temple. And we have the shrine there because we follow the tradition that Shiva and Shakti are a one being. They're not two beings. When you make them two beings, you start to think of the gods as male and female, which is okay for children, but not for adults. We don't want to think of God as either male or female. God is a divine being, a soul. And just as the human soul can be born as a man or a woman, you know, obviously it doesn't have inherent gender if it can be born as both. So the gods don't have gender. They're genderless divine beings, and Shiva and Shakti as one being at Ardhanarishvara represent that. I was looking at some other sources on that point and certainly don't know much about the Devarams, but the little I've seen of Turiyana Sambandar's Devarams, so he's 7th century. So this is the idea. If we look long ago, that teaching is there. This is describing a temple. The water flows near the fields. The red carp fish jumps, rising high. Sounds like our place, huh? The plantain trees yield fruits within reach of the hand. And Kattupalli, where the honey flowing from some flowers spread its fragrance through the seashore gardens, meditating upon the Lord who has one half of his form, a lady with shoulders like bamboo, and Mal, who lies on the bed of serpent of five hoods, in which there is poison near the hood. Those who have left their attachments will ascend into the upper world. Sounds like Kwayadinam. But the key sentence is, meditating upon the Lord who has on one half of his form a lady with shoulders like bamboo. It's very common in his songs, and this is 7th century. So in the 7th century, the teaching is there that Shakti is not separate, it's one half of Shiva's form. Right there. There's an interesting group in South Africa called Saiva Siddhanta Sangam, which has a lot in common with Gurudeva's teachings, but a lot of differences too. But this shows the in common on what we have in common on Shakti. This is historical. To counteract the sacrificing of innocent animals in the name of religion, and especially during porridge prayers and Mariaman prayers, the founder instituted the Maha Shakti prayer, in which devotees pray and worship the mother aspect of Shiva Paraman. This is not to be confused with the creation of another god or goddess. It is Shiva Shakti, and not Shiva and Shakti. That's a nice way of putting it, huh? It is Shiva Shakti, not Shiva and Shakti. So he's founder very strong in worshipping Shiva. In fact, that's all they worship. They're monotheistic. They don't worship Ganesha and Murugan. One of their first lines is, you know, we believe in the worship of Shiva Paraman and not the other minor gods. Well, we don't go that far. But the point of Shiva Shakti is the same in both traditions, meaning other teachers also in the modern world, this wasn't that long ago, other teachers in the modern world also put forward the same idea. So it was there in the 7th century, this idea is there in the modern world. It's just in common Hinduism, it's not thought about as much as it should be. Thank you very much. Nice to be back to our home, huh? Particularly on a cold morning. Nothing like a warm home. A wonderful day.